The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying. They stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light, the love of the Holy Spirit, that we may be receptive to truth, that we may conform our lives, our wills, to that of yours. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends of Christ, just recently, I and a number of people came back from Rome on pilgrimage. We saw many beautiful, beautiful churches, testimonies of the faith of the people of many generations ago, even till today. There's one particular church we saw. It was a French church, and it's called St. Louis. It had a beautiful side altar to St. Louis, King of France, one to St. Joan of Arc. And one of the side chapels there had three beautiful, beautiful paintings of Caravaggio. Caravaggio was an Italian artist who died about the year 1610. One of his most famous paintings is The Calling of Matthew. In this picture, you see Matthew, who's the tax collector. He's at table, he's dressed in finery, and he has his friends around him. He has beautiful food that's on the table. He's got a lot of money there, too. Looks like he's counting it. And you have Christ. By contrast, he and Peter have just come into the room, and they have bare feet. They have their simple robes on. And when Christ comes in, you see a light coming through a window. It's coming through, a sliver of light, hitting the face of Matthew. And there's a tension in the picture. It's called the calling of Matthew, because our Lord says, "I'm calling you." And you can see Matthew, the tension there, his upper body is like he doesn't want to go accept an invitation of Christ, but his feet are poised in his legs to get up and follow Christ. And then this beautiful hat that Matthew's wearing, there's a coin there representing that he's always thinking of money and the things of this world. And his friends that are around him, they're all crunched around him, totally oblivious to the fact that Jesus Christ has entered. Great contrast where Matthew has to make a decision to follow Christ who continued in his closed-off little world. And by God's grace, he accepts that invitation. All of us are constantly called by Christ. His first reading, Samuel, called once, twice, third time. And then Eli, the veteran priest, says, "The next time you hear that, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" The Lord God is constantly calling us to a deeper relationship with him. Now, these readings are very interesting. There's two things going on in these readings today, together as a whole. That of vocation, and that of a beautiful doctrine of faith, the divine invite, vocation, from the Latin word vocare, we're called. All of us are called a particular mission in life. Some are called to work of sanctification as a wife and mothers, and as fathers. Some called to the single life, some called to the priesthood, some called to religious life, to be monks, brothers, sisters, nuns, etc. There's a particular calling that God has for each and every one of us by which we could work out our salvation. And whether the person knows it or not, this question here in the gospel, what are you looking for? Every single soul, over 7 billion people in the world as of October of this last year, every single soul in the depths of our heart is searching for Jesus Christ. Now, God is just so patient. You know, when our life in Christ began, when we were baptized, the moment we were baptized, the Holy Spirit was infused into our soul, or we were joined to a life of God. The second reading, St. Paul's touched on something so beautiful. He says, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That God, in a real sense, spirit sense, dwells within your heart. A soul that's in a state of grace is something beautiful, it's resplendent. If you were to take some crystals and just put them just in ordinary lighting, no big deal. But if the sunlight hits it, you see the different rays, the different colors, and the shininess going through it. That's what a soul looks like. If we had the eyes of the angels, a soul that's in a state of grace. Now, there's something interesting. I was reading more about this doctrine. The moment we're baptized, our soul's cleansed of all sin, right? Original sin and personal sin. But what happens is the body, the emotions, the will, the mind are still affected by original sin. It's still wounded, right? And by overcoming those wounds, our tendencies to sin, our self-will, selfishness, materialism, pleasures of the world, to overcome that, we're working on our salvation. With God's grace, we can do that. Now, praise be to God. If any of us, if you ever fall into sin, which means you've kicked God out of your heart, mortal sin, you deliberately missed Mass, other sins, mortal sins, serious sins, if you've ever done that, don't fret. Go to confession. God loves us so much. He gives us so many chances to get back up, to humbly confess our sins. So Matthew, when he came to the Lord, he had a lot of things to repent of in his life. Now, there's a beautiful saint. Her name's Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. She was a Carmelite nun. She was sort of a rascal growing up. Sort of had like a brick wall around her heart. Wasn't thinking about the other things going on in the world. Just herself. But she approached First Holy Communion at the age of 11. A nun told her, she says, you know your name Elizabeth, that stands for House of God. Bethlehem, House of God, Elizabeth, House of God. And she said, whoa. And then she said, the moment she received Holy Communion, her whole life was transformed. She said, when Jesus made in me his dwelling place, when God took possession of my heart, so well that since that hour, since that mysterious colloquy, conversation, that divine and delicious meeting, I have aspired to nothing else but to give my life to him. Now all of us, you say, well, Father, you know, I've given my life to Christ. I'm here in church. No, no, it's much deeper. He wants our heart, our mind, our soul, everything, everything given all over to him, everything. And what he has prepared for us, we can't even imagine, St. Paul says. Now, within our vocation, no matter what our vocation is in life, we are called to live it by, with, and through Jesus Christ, to bring Christ to that particular state in life. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this wonderful quarterback, Tim Tebow. He's a strong Christian. He's pro-life, many other things, which generally goes against the grain, against the world. But what he's doing, what's so admirable, he's living his vocation that God is first. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm happy to profess it. But that's not just to him, for him. That's for all of us, especially for the fullness of the day. We have the Eucharist, confession, confirmation. Pope John Paul II, before his passing to his reward, he met with a group of elite athletes, top professional soccer players. And he told them something that all of us should be mindful of. He said, the eyes of the sports fans throughout the world are fixed on you. Be conscious of your responsibility. It's not only the champion in the stadium, but also the whole person who should become a model for millions of young people who need leaders, not idols. They need men who can convey to them the zest for challenge, self-discipline, the courage to be honest, and the joy of unselfishness. In other words, he was saying, don't forget your Christian roots. Live your Catholic faith. No matter if you're a professional soccer player or if you're an engineer, whatever it is, bring Christ there. That is your sanctification. You know, during the course of this week, you and I, we're going to meet many people. Some real close to Christ, some who don't even say a prayer. God wants us to bring Christ to that situation. Never be embarrassed to live your faith. When you go out, that simple saying of your blessings before meals, the language that you use, everything, it's so vitally important. Before I came here, I had other parishioners have really big RCA programs. A big parish, 3,200 families. RCA typically would be at least 30 people. And I'd interview all the people coming to the faith. And during the course of the RCA year, this would happen consistently. Father, you know, I'm at the workplace and there's five other Catholics there. But they don't really live anything you're talking about here. They talk openly about contraception, the language they use. Believe it or not, each and every one of us, we're a billboard for Christ. We have to be appealed. We have to live the faith. If we live the faith, accept this calling, then we're allowing that light to come in Caravaggio's picture, the light of Christ to come into our heart and to transform us. And it's incredible. We'll only know at the end of our life how many souls we've affected for the good and also for the bad. So when you receive communion today, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to let your light shine throughout the whole week in all my meetings, my workplace, family, our relationships. Not just here for 50 minutes, an hour on the weekend, but everywhere we go. That takes courage. It takes courage. But the reason that you and I have the faith today, because so many Christians down through the centuries shed their blood for the faith. First four centuries, there were so many martyrs who were willing to die for the faith. So don't worry if you have to endure a little bit of embarrassment or discomfort, but live the faith. Live the faith. That's why Tim Tebow and the media sort of can't get a grasp on him, because he says, look, there's something higher than you and I. That's Almighty God. He's most important. I believe that and I live that. So let's do the same. Let's accept Christ's invitation. Let's live the faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.